Okay. All right. What do you guys think of the camp so far? It's nice. This is awesome. This is a great room. A lot to be thankful for. Okay. Go ahead and open up to session one. And as you do that, we're going to begin our time in God's Word. So let's calibrate our hearts to just recognize that we are gonna bring our hearts and our minds to the Word of God that He has given to us so that we might know Him. This is a wonderful trip, a privilege to be able to do that. As we start, I want you guys to consider something with me, all right? I want you to imagine, let's imagine twins, okay? They're almost identical, but not quite. And one is a male, one is a female. What should we call the female? What's her name?
Brenda?
No. Let's go with Grace. Let's go with Grace. It's pretty. Like Karis, okay? But we'll go with Grace. The boy, what should we call his name? None of those are resonating with me. Let's go with Gilbert. So, we've got almost identical twins, Grace and Gilbert. Their last name is hard to pronounce. It's foreign. Gonna graduate soon. Grace and Gilbert gonna graduate soon. All right? They're gonna graduate soon. They're about to graduate high school. Some of you may even be in that scenario right now. Few months from now, you're going to be graduating like Grace and Gilbert. What are the types of things that you are thinking about as you prepare to graduate soon? College. Work. Adulthood. What else?
Money.
You're thinking about money. Work. Different things. Toby? Video games. Okay. All right. Yeah, lots of things. What do you think? Hold on. For Gilbert and Grace gonna graduate soon, what is the most important thing they should be thinking about? Church. Yes, Eliano. Well done. Yes. I would submit that the most important thing that should be on their mind as they're preparing to launch into adulthood, as they're on the precipice of maybe even leaving their parents' home, or maybe you'll be living at home for a period of time, but you're, at least in our society, viewed as an adult when you turn 18, right? Some of us don't always act that way right as we're 18, but we have legal privileges and responsibilities that we don't have before that. I think the most important thing that should be on our minds is the church. And over the course of this weekend, and particularly tonight, I'm going to show you from God's Word why. Why that should be on our minds, why that should be on Grace and Gilbert's mind, why that should be on your mind. Even if you're not a senior, there are things that we are going to see in God's Word tonight and over the course of this weekend that are absolutely crucial for you to know today, even if you're a sixth grader. How many sixth graders do we have? Even if you're a sixth grader, let's hear it for our sixth graders. It takes a lot of courage to come hang out with you guys for the weekend. And these sixth graders are doing it. That's awesome. Welcome. We're glad that you guys are here. But whether you're 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, or even if you're on staff, what we're going to see in God's Word this weekend is absolutely crucial for us to know. And we're going to see why our view of the church, and particularly what God has said is true about the church, must be on our hearts and minds. So go ahead and open up your Bible to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to see why the church should be a top priority for us. We're going to see God's view of the church, which is really the most important one. We're going to see why it's a crucial part of the believer's life. And not only that, but in Christ, the church, and being faithfully and intentionally connected to the church is crucial for the believer. It's crucial for our very identity. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, how you understand what God has revealed to be true about his church is of critical importance. So, Ephesians chapter 3, and start with me in verse 8. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Paul says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him." All right, as we prepare to dive into this passage, the main point, what is this passage really getting at? Well, it's this. The main point of this passage is that God's manifold wisdom, and we're going to talk about what that is put on display to the heavenlies through the church as he reconciles sinners to himself and to each other. God's manifold wisdom is put on display to the heavenlies through the church as he reconciles sinners to himself and to each other. And as we see that main idea demonstrated in our text, we're going to see it through three elements of God's wisdom that we must know. So the main idea of this passage is that God's manifold wisdom is put on display to the heavenlies through the church as he reconciles sinners to himself and to each other. And now we're going to unpack that looking at three elements of God's wisdom we must know. These are three essential truths that we must grasp and understand about God's wisdom. And if we can understand what Paul says here, it will have a dramatic impact for good on our lives. So three elements of God's wisdom we must know. Now, if we're going to dive into these elements of God's wisdom, we need to first understand, what is God's wisdom? What is God's wisdom? Well, here's the definition. It's this, that God always chooses the best goals and the best means to those goals. Well, what does that mean? He chooses the best possible end and the best plans to get to that end. God's decisions, his will, always brings about the best results, and he brings about those best results through the best way to get there. Okay? Have you ever been driving in the car and maybe your dad wants to take one route to get where you're going and your mom wants to take another route? Which one is better? Moms, just go with mom. No. One may be better. I don't know which one's better. God always takes the best possible route to get to the best possible end. That's God's wisdom. That's God's wisdom on display, that he chooses the best way to produce the best end. The best way to bring about the best end. And he has infinite knowledge. What do we call this? What's the theological term that God knows everything? Omniscience. He's all-knowing. He has infinite knowledge. So there's nothing that surprises him. I'm going to do things this way. Oh, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see a spider web right by my face. I'm going to turn and go under it and leave it for the next person. Maddie. No, he knows all of the different variances, all of the different options, and he still chooses the best thing every time that produces the best end. That's God's wisdom. And he does it in perfect holiness. No part of his plan is ever flawed. It doesn't err in any way. He is wise. He's omniscient. He's knowledgeable. He's good. He's holy. That's God's wisdom put on display. The best possible means to get to the best possible end. So as we think about that, we're going to look at three elements of God's wisdom we must know. What's the first one? It's this. It's God's wisdom is expressed in the gospel. So if you're taking notes, which you should be, your blank is the word expressed. God's wisdom is expressed in the gospel. Now, I want to show you how Paul has set up this section that he just put before us. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Paul says this, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you." So he has a stewardship to bring truth, to bring some sort of information to the Gentiles as a slave of Christ, as one under Christ's rule. And he says, in verse 3, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. There's this mystery, this truth that hasn't been made known up until this point, and God has commissioned Paul to bring this to light, to bring to light this mystery. And in verse 5, he says, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And now he's going to tell us what it is. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through what? The gospel. So this mystery that was hidden before, that now the Spirit of God is making known to the apostles and prophets so that they can tell people, and Paul has been given this stewardship to bring this truth to light, that Gentiles can now be part of this body that God is creating through the gospel. Who was the truth about Yahweh for primarily prior to this? Who were the people of God? The Jews were those set apart. And so this would have been earth-shattering news that Gentiles, without having to become Jews, could actually be brought into part of the people of God. And then look at verse 7, of which I was made a minister. So this gospel, he was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. God did all of this. And then we get into our section that we see now. It was given to him, the very least of saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. In what? In the gospel. That salvation could come to them. And so what we see is God's wisdom is being put on display in this church age that's being started as Christ has ascended. He's establishing his church. And this church now has Jews and Gentiles being brought together into one body, one group of people that love God, that love Christ, that have experienced the riches of Christ. Paul calls it unfathomable riches of Christ. Can't even comprehend all of the riches that come to those whom have submitted their lives, the ones who have submitted their lives to Christ in faith, in repentance, have received his righteousness credited to their account because of his sacrifice in their place. He calls them unfathomable riches of this gospel message. And Paul had the kindness of God poured out through the gift of him being able to preach this truth. Just think about that. Paul was overwhelmed. I'm the least of the apostles. And I get to bring this truth to the Gentiles. These people who thought they couldn't become a people can actually experience the love of Christ. He's going to talk about that a little bit later in chapter 3, just the heights and the depths and the amazing reality of God's love. It's incomprehensible. We can't fully comprehend his love, but he wants them to understand it to the fullest degree that they can. This love of Christ for sinners, that anyone who would repent of their sins can come to Christ and bring grace and love and He reconciled to him, saved by grace through faith. God is redeeming sinners through the blood of his Son, reconciling the people to himself, and joining them together as the people of God. This is God's wisdom. This is the best possible means to the best possible end that God would do this. The salvation of Gentiles through Christ, the creation of the church of Jews and Gentiles being brought into one body in salvation. It's truly amazing. Paul goes on to elaborate in verse 9 and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. What does that mean? He just gets to make known as an administrator of the gospel, as one being commissioned by God, the greatness of Christ, that Gentiles and Jews can be reconciled together and reconciled to God through the gospel, brought together into a body and brought under God's grace in salvation. It is for ages. It is hidden in God. And then there's this interesting statement. It is hidden in ages in God who created all things. Well, why do you think Paul draws attention to God as creator right after talking about God as the one who planned and is bringing to pass this creation of the church that we're going to see in just a moment? Why did he do this? I think it's because he's so captivated by the richness and the greatness that God would actually form this people comprised of Gentiles and Jews together into the body of Christ. That he said, listen, the salvation of Gentiles through Christ, the creation of the church, of Jews and Gentiles being brought, reconciled to God and reconciled to one another, is salvation. It's on the same level, this creative work of God to create the church is on the same creative level as his work in creation. If we were to watch God as the creator create the universe, it would truly be astonishing. And I think Paul here, by adding this phrase at the end, is actually likening the work that God's doing in the establishment and building up of the church and the salvation of sinners, both Jews and Gentiles, bringing them into one body. He's likening, listen, this is the God who created all things, and look at what he's creating in the church. Paul is overwhelmed that he had received the grace of God as being one who got to make this known. Have you thought about that when thinking about the gospel, maybe even when thinking about sharing the gospel with someone? I have the privilege of sharing to this person who doesn't know the truth that they can be reconciled to God as a free gift through the blood of Christ. I have the privilege of making this known. I don't think about that enough. I was convicted when studying this. It's so easy to get scared. What are they going to think of me? We have the privilege of sharing with those who are under God's wrath the truth of the gospel. Paul was ecstatic to be able to be the first to bring this news to the Gentiles, overwhelmed. I'm not worthy of such a task. And I get to share these things with them. All of this starts with the gospel. When we're thinking about God's wisdom in the church, it all starts with the gospel. The gospel is where we see God's wisdom on display, and the gospel is an expression of God's wisdom, which is the best possible means to bring about the best possible end. Before we go any further this weekend, each one of you needs to consider, where are you at before the Lord? And I imagine you're in one of three categories. Either you believe, and there's been a fruit to where you have confidence that you are in Christ. Praise God for that. That is great. Or maybe you think you believe, but you're not sure. You haven't had tangible fruit yet, or you have, and you're trying to discern it. You're trying to discern, where am I before the Lord? And you're just not sure. That's an okay place to be tonight. And I would challenge you to believe. And then let the Lord produce fruit and vigorously pursue what is right before the Lord. The third category is you just don't believe and you don't want to believe. And if that's you, I would plead with you to believe. Believe in what? Believe in Jesus. And not just factual, yeah, he probably lived at some point in time, but believe in him in an entrustment way. Repent of living for yourself. Entrust yourself to him and his righteousness, his perfect life, and his sacrifice in the place of all who would repent and believe. All that we're going to talk about in regards to the riches of Christ and the wisdom of God in the church over the course of this weekend, it all has to start with the gospel. Do you believe? Do you believe? Is your heart captivated by the riches of Christ? So the first element of God's wisdom we must know is God's wisdom is expressed in the gospel. God's wisdom is expressed in the gospel. Secondly, the next element of God's wisdom we must know is number two, God's wisdom is multifaceted in nature. Multifaceted in nature. Look at verse 10. Paul says, so that the manifold, or a synonym would be multifaceted, wisdom of God might now be made known. And we'll talk about how and where it's being made known in just a moment. But I want you to see what Paul says regarding God's wisdom, that it's multifaceted. Now, as you're taking notes or scribbling in your book or whatever you're doing with your book right now, flip it over to the front. What do you see? Who knows what that is? Swiss Army knife. Pocket knife. Swiss Army knife. Okay. When I was about 8 years old, I got a Swiss Army knife for Christmas. True story. And I was so excited that I opened up the blade. I wanted to see how sharp it was. So you know what I did? Swoop! I cut myself. It was sharp! And I learned that very quickly. And so then I came out. Okay, listen, I was 8. Okay, show grace. Don't laugh too hard. I came out crying. Oh, I cut myself. I just got a knife. Don't take it away from me. And I wasn't crying because it hurt, okay? I was disappointed in myself, all right? I knew better. Who goes like that to test the sharpness of it? Anyway, an 8-year-old, Josh does. But we put a band-aid on, and my dad showed me how to test the blade. But you know what is true about a Swiss Army knife? It doesn't just have one blade. You have that Swiss Army knife. It's like the super tool. If you were going to go to a space station, I think you might want to take a Swiss Army knife because it's got screwdrivers and knives and maybe a saw. My Swiss Army knife had tweezers in it. Okay. It also had a toothpick, which was great because I love popcorn and steak. So that was awesome. It's multifaceted. Okay. Now, we also need to recognize Eliana. She's been begging me to do this ever since we talked. No, she didn't. She designed that. Isn't that awesome? She designed that logo for us. And it actually says in Greek, wisdom of the God. Wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God right on the front there. So if you're wondering what that word is, and that's going to be our t-shirts that you'll get later tonight. And so way to go, Eliana. She took my rambling, put it together, came up with some designs. Let me nitpick, came back with stuff that was even better, and that's what we ended up with, which is awesome. So thank you, Eliana. It was a huge blessing. So she designed that. She designed our shirts. It was a huge blessing. Good job. So the multifaceted, that's the idea there. Lots of different angles, lots of different uses, lots of different riches, all bound up in God's wisdom. And Paul says this manifold wisdom, this wisdom that is like a Swiss Army knife, just more parts keep popping out, more uses, more things to impress us keep popping out. It'd be like a, maybe like a diamond that you just rotate it and there's all sorts of facets and everyone just captures your attention with the beauty of it. That's God's wisdom. And Paul saying that God has saved people, bringing Jews and Gentiles together in one body so that the manifold wisdom of God, this multifaceted, amazing wisdom of God, would be made known through me all by myself. Is that right? No. What does he say? Through the church. this mystery that was hidden and is now being revealed, that Paul is so overwhelmed that he has the privilege of sharing and proclaiming around the gospel and the truth of who Christ is, and that salvation is available for both Jews and Gentiles. Anybody that would repent and turn to him in faith can experience forgiveness of sins, be brought into the body of Christ, and not only be brought into the body of Christ, but in being a part of God's work in this way, you put on display the multifaceted, amazing, captivating wisdom of God. That is truly awesome. This richly diversified, so many sides of God's wisdom. None of them are contradictory to one another. It's not like there's two sides of the story and they just don't agree. This is just, there's so many angles, so many facets, so many parts of God's wisdom, and they all fit together perfectly and beautifully and wonderfully. And he puts that on display through the church. God's wisdom in saving people through his Son, we will never grow tired of worshiping him and praising him for this. In fact, just listen, if you want to write it down, you can. Revelation 5, verses 11 through 14, you can just listen. For all eternity, actually, I didn't write it in my notes, I'll turn there. You can listen while I turn there. Revelation 5. John says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.'" They are worshiping Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, as the Lamb, as the one who was slaughtered, as the one who was sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins. It is on the minds of those in heaven to worship and praise God for his work in the gospel. This is God's wisdom, his multifaceted wisdom. It's multifaceted in nature. It's just incomprehensible. It's so deep. It's so rich. It's so amazing. And so first, God's wisdom is expressed in the gospel, and God's wisdom is multifaceted in nature. It's deep, it's rich, it's awe-inspiring. And then lastly, God's wisdom is made known through the church. God's wisdom is made known through the church. Made known. That's your blank for number three. God's wisdom is made known through the church. Look at verse 10 again. "So that the manifold wisdom," that multifaceted wisdom of God, "might now be made known through the church." God is putting on display his wisdom through the church. Have you ever thought about that? The privilege that it is to be a part of the body of Christ, that we get to put on display God's awesome, manifold wisdom. Who's seeing it? Well, certainly we get to, but look at what Paul highlights. "To the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places." And look at what Paul also says. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose. This was right in line with God's eternal plans and purposes, which he carried out in Christ Jesus. Jesus coming to earth, living a perfect holy life, being led to the cross, going to the cross, giving up his life on the cross, none of that was an accident. That wasn't a last-ditch effort to save mankind. That was part of God's eternal purposes to send his Son as the Messiah, as the Anointed One, to be the Lamb, to be the sacrifice for all who would believe, so that they could have forgiveness of sins, so that they could be saved, reconciled to God through Christ, and then reconciled to one another in the body of Christ, where God's wisdom is put on display. Now, if God's wisdom is to be made known through the church, what is important to understand? what is the church God is referring to? Well, we need to understand that because people throw that term around all the time. There's somebody that I know on social media that went out hiking alone in the wilderness and said, this is my church. Which by itself is just self-contradictory because the word for church, ecclesia, literally means an assembly. So to be an assembly by yourself, not really work that way. But they were trying to capture something about their Zen. I don't know what they were actually. I didn't talk to them about it. But it's not God's view of the church. Going out hiking alone is not God's view of the church. Getting together with some friends and hanging out is not in and of itself God's view of the church. He actually has some very specific things to say about what the church is. If I were to tell you, if I said, the camp has housing for us, what is really important to get right? Which camp are we talking about? Don't go wander into any room anywhere, right? You want to know which bus went up to the Springs area. Shame on you guys. But good job for not getting out of the bus and walking into random cabins. That would have been a mistake, regardless of how you feel. Why? Because this is our camp, and our cabins have cool bird names, like hawk and falcon and an eagle. Patriotic. Yeah, so it is with the church. Eagle. Yes. I guess we all know which the best. Who's staying in Eagle? Okay. All right. There you have it. A lot of times we want to dictate what the church is and just make it up. And ultimately, it doesn't matter what we call the church. God gets to name the church because God is the creator of the church. He gets to say what it is and what it's to be about and what it's to be like and how we participate in it. That's what truly matters. And so we're going to talk about this more tomorrow morning, but what is the church? The true church, called in Scripture, the body of Christ, and we'll talk about that some tomorrow as well. The body of Christ, the church, it's a spiritual organism where every person who has trusted Jesus Christ for salvation is part of the true church. And Scripture puts forth that the local church, there's the local church, which is made up of redeemed individuals or saved individuals who have joined together for worship, instruction, fellowship, and service. Simply put, what is the church? It's believers who join together for intentional reasons under God's grace. Join together for worship, instruction, fellowship, and service. And God has a whole bunch to say about what His church is to look like. We'll look at that in the morning. Leadership, members, servants, how do we all work together? Qualifications for leadership, conduct for members, what we're about, what we're to do, how we're to do it. He gives us lots of really helpful guidance and instruction. But it is important to understand that as God defines the church, it is genuine believers, true believers, who are joined together for intentional purposes that God sets forth in Scripture. An assembly of believers in a local community. And what does Paul say here is the purpose of the church? He's going to talk a lot more about this throughout the book of Ephesians. We'll look at that tomorrow at lunch, right after lunch, actually. I'm not going to preach to you during lunch. After lunch, we'll look at that. He has a lot more to say about the church. But what he says here is that one of the primary purposes of the church in God's wisdom is to put on display God's wisdom to the heavenlies, to inform angels and demons and Satan himself of the multi-sided and multifaceted wisdom of God. We testify in our obedience to God and being part of the church and engaged in the church, we testify to the angelic realm of God's wisdom and His greatness. If you ever wonder who's way better, my way or God's way, for any one of us, I'll just tell you right now, without a shadow of a doubt, God's way is way, 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 way better. And God's way for his children includes the church. It's part of our identity that we're brought together into a body. God does not save you only for you. God has intention for his glory to testify of his wisdom to the heavenlies through the believer being reconciled to himself and then reconciled to one another in the body of Christ. We always have an audience to our participation in the church. Do you realize that? When you separate and distance yourself from the church, you are missing out on the privilege of being able to testify to the heavenlies of God's wisdom. God in his greatness, in all of his wisdom, in all of his knowledge, he chose to use Grace Bible Church and Gilbert Bible Church and other churches that are faithful to the truth to testify to the angelic realm his wisdom. Put on display that he is using the best possible means to bring about the best possible the end through his son Jesus and his sacrificial death to redeem sinners, draw them to himself, reconcile them with one another, and then build them up in the body of Christ and make them more like Jesus. He could have done it any other way. His knowledge is infinite, and this is the best way. He could have just had a series of lectures for the angelic realm to listen to. God podcast. My wisdom. Session 1. 5,374,632 minutes long. No. He puts it on display through us in the church. God's wisdom is put on display. What is taking place here this weekend at UCYC between Gilbert Bible Church and Grace Bible Church is an expression of God's wisdom, and it's testifying of his wisdom to the heavenly realms. Listen, fallen angels can't be redeemed. They look at awe, not submission, but they marvel. And especially non-fallen angels marvel and rejoice when a sinner comes to Christ. Angels, true angels, non-fallen angels, rejoice over the salvation of a sinner. It can't happen for them. And then to watch us be joined together in this body, in this organism, in this collection of believers together, serving one another, growing in grace under God's care and under Christ's ruling in our lives and then being matured and putting off sin and growing in holiness, it's a wonder to behold for the angelic realm. God's wisdom is truly amazing. God's wisdom in creation is impressive. God's wisdom in the redemption of a people, that is great also. In the Jews, that he would choose those. But this manifold wisdom of God that was hidden until now and is now being revealed in the church, it is astonishing, and we get to be a part of it. Have you ever felt like church was a burden? I got to go to church. Rather sleep in. I love sleeping. Interrupting football. For some of you, NFL. For some of you, NCAA. No? Nobody realizes that? Gilbert Bible meets on Saturday nights, so we miss college football. You miss NFL. Have you ever felt like it's a burden? Wait, I got hurt by a church. People don't treat me the way I want to be treated. It's hard to go to church. My parents made me come to camp. If you are a believer and you are part of the true church, we have the privilege of being part of the church. It doesn't mean it's the easy path for us. It's better. That doesn't mean it comes without pain or hurt. Or even having to navigate our sin or other sins. We have to work to reconcile. We have to work to humble ourselves before one another. We have to work to consider others' needs above our own so we don't fill our pockets with snacks and swoosh, swoosh everywhere we go. Right? We have to work at these things. But what it is God's wisdom. That he would allow us to be part of the body of Christ. So what do we do? What about when it is hard? What about when people offend me? Oh, what about when people don't serve me the way that I want to be served? I wanted the trash can game. And Julie said no. No, she didn't. I don't even know what the trash can game is. Is that the one where you hold ropes and you have to... You guys don't want to play that here. I dominate all of you. Jake's going, challenge accepted. He's like, let's do it right now.
It can be hard. I understand that it can be hard.
What about when I'm confused or uncertain about what's going on around me? Maybe I'm hearing things, complaints, or lack of contentment, and I'm struggling in my heart. Am I okay here? Is this right? What should I be doing? What should I be thinking? You should be thinking that God's wisdom is put on display through the church. What does he ask of you? We're going to talk about that this weekend. How can you be faithful to what God calls you to be faithful to? Because each one of us has an opportunity to participate in putting God's wisdom on display. Let me ask you this. Has it ever felt scary being part of the church? Like, this hurts. This is hard. I don't think this is God's wisdom. Let me ask you this. If you loved Jesus and you saw him hanging on the cross, what do you think you would have thought? No! The Messiah hanging on the cross, crucified, crown of thorns, nailed to the tree, unrecognizable because he's been so mutilated from the scourging and all the other brutal mutilation that he experienced. My Savior hanging on the tree. Would you have thought, God's wisdom? Would you have felt warm and fuzzy in that moment? Of course not. What was it? Foolishness to the world, but the wisdom of God. That he would send his son to die in the place of all who would believe. Thank God that his ways are not our ways. If you're ever tempted to think my way is better, staying home is better, not being part of this, not being connected to small group, not being engaged in church, not being in the word, not praying, not encouraging others, just looking out for myself, that's much better. It protects me from all sorts of hurt. Think about Jesus. Think about what your heart would have been tempted to believe watching him be crucified. Think of how your heart would have leapt to have seen him raised from the grave. God's wisdom. A crucified Messiah in the place of sinners who could not make themselves right before God on their own. Don't trust your own assessment as if God somehow needs to submit to your will and your desires. Don't run away from what God calls good and wise because you think you know better, or maybe because of how you feel. That doesn't mean it's always easy. Listen, it is hard. I have had to have long conversations with individuals where there has been offense and labor over an extended period of time to reconcile. I've had to overlook offenses. And you know what? Probably more than I know by far, others have graciously overlooked my offenses. And this is God's wisdom, the church. Don't ever run away from the church because it's uncomfortable or takes work. It is God's wisdom put on display to the heavenly realms. And he calls us. It's part of your identity if you're in Christ. That you are saved, you are a child of God, and you are a part of the body of Christ. Intended to be connected in a local assembly. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. Listen, the believer shouldn't plan his or her life and then squeeze church into the margins. That's what we do often. What does your life include? Well, I've got school, I've got some work, I've got sports, then I've got homework, Then I've got friends. Then I've got these other activities. And then, I've got 15 minutes here for church. I'll squeeze that in. That shouldn't be the approach that we take. God, in his infinite wisdom, did not say, your faithfulness to friendships outside of the church put on display his manifold wisdom. He didn't even say your career puts on display his manifold wisdom to the heavenlies. Those are important things, and it's important to work and to be faithful in those things, and you need to do that in a way that honors God. But never at the expense of our faithfulness to what God has called us to be and be involved in the local assembly of the church. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a pastor. It's what God's word says. His manifold wisdom put on display. We are to be connected. Praise God you're here this weekend. That is an encouragement to me. I remember the first camp at Grace Bible Church. I think we had 19 of us total. Does that sound right, Julie, Jerry? Something like that. 18 or 19 of us total. And there's 100 and something of us. I don't know. The numbers changed a little bit at the end. But in the 130s of us here together. And we have the privilege of all being together in this way. That is a gift from the Lord. And can't wait to see what the Lord's going to continue to do throughout the course of the weekend. So let's pray. And then our next plan is we're going to split into our small groups. And so find your leader. Leaders, you can just find wherever you'd like, whether it's your cabin or in here, areas to do your small group time. And then we're back in here. My watch died. Is it 10? Do we want to do like 10:15? We're going to go 10:15 back in here. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for humanity, that you would send Christ. Thank you for your love for your church, that you would send your son to die in the place of all who would believe. Lord, that you would give your life up. Help us to believe. Help us to submit to you in faith. And Lord, help us to be faithful to you in our involvement in the church. I pray now for the discussion times and small groups, that they would be fruitful. I pray for this weekend as we continue to see from your word, your intention, your design of the church. Lord, we want you to be glorified in all these things. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.